Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Confession of Faith. It's week 33, and today is Baptist Faith and Message, Article 10, Last Things. I'll pray for us. We'll get right into it. I'll read the paragraph, say a few things about it, of course, and I have one cross reference today from 1 Peter chapter 4. If you'd like to go there, I'll have it on the screen for you. But 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll look at a little passage that has to do with the last things and how it should impact the way we live right now. Father, we thank you for your mercy toward us. We know that we're sinners. We know that we fall short. We need you to keep us dependent on you by the power of your Spirit. We pray that you would work in our hearts and our minds to see our need for Christ daily, to seek him and depend upon him and his power and his grace in us daily. Father, we pray these things. Help us in our study right now. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, last things, which is referring to the last things that will happen in the world as we know it, or the last things that will happen in history as we know it, which consequently will lead to the first things that will happen in the age to come. It's ironic that this is a relatively shorter paragraph. I can't get the whole thing on the screen, but you can see it starts right here and then comes down to right there. So a moderate-sized paragraph, but for a topic that has so many different aspects to it, that has so many different views on it and about it, lots of disagreements and debates, different perspectives, but it gets one paragraph, because what the Baptist Faith and Message is trying to do is to allow for some variation within holding to what is necessary and what is central when it comes to the last things. So let me go ahead and just read what's here and point out the key aspects or the key components. God, in his own time and in his own way, will bring the world to its appropriate end. And that relates to how I opened this segment. Last things that will happen in the world as we know it, in the world or in history as it is now, as we know it. When it says bring the world to its appropriate end, it does not mean that everything stops existing. Things will be radically changed. Some things done away with, some things brought about. But just important to know that this is talking about things that will actually happen in concrete reality in this world, bringing this world as we know it to its appropriate end. God is sovereign in this. God, in his own time and in his own way, will bring the world to its appropriate end. According to his promise, Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly in glory to the earth. If there is one central doctrine when it comes to the last things, well, you know, that's interesting for me to say, because this could apply to any doctrine. If there's going to be one central doctrine when it comes to last things, it will be Jesus Christ, right? You can say that about any doctrine. He's the center of meaning. He's the center of personal application. He's God's revelation to us. He's the way we come to God and have fellowship with God, Jesus Christ. But something specific about Jesus Christ as the center point of our doctrine of the last things, he will return personally, will really be him in his resurrection body, visibly, right, manifestly, publicly, in glory to the earth, all right? In all the glory of heaven, the glory that is his, is the way he returns, number one. Number two, the dead will be raised. There's a general resurrection of both those who are yet alienated from Christ and alienated from God, and those who are reconciled to God by being united to Christ. The dead will be raised, and Christ will judge all men in righteousness. All right, so you have three things so far: the personal, visible, glorious return of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, a general resurrection, and the judgment of all mankind in righteousness. That just means by God's standard, right? God is the judge. God is the standard. The unrighteous will be consigned to hell, the place of everlasting punishment, apart from God, away from God, away from the blessings of heaven, away from joy, robbed of joy forever. Horrible, horrible place to be. Please, please do not go here. The righteous in their resurrected and glorified bodies will receive their reward and will dwell forever in heaven with the Lord. I like this these two things right here because they're synonymous. They mean the same thing. One is reward, and then down here, with the Lord. That's the same thing. Being with the Lord in a resurrected and glorified body is the prize. There's nothing greater than God. Right? There's no promotion. I hate to use that word. It's just an illustration. There's no higher up you can go than being with the Lord. It's the grandest joy, the best experience we could ever have for those who are reconciled to Him in Jesus. So this is why we share the gospel and preach the gospel and urge all to come to Christ in faith and pray for all to come to Christ in faith so that they may have a relationship with God that will never end. It will begin in this life. It will go on to the next life and into the next age. Now, this article, last things, Article 10, Baptist Faith and Message, does not get into all of the details in each of these doctrines. The return of Christ, there are some other details you can follow up on and you can study about. Do it in Scripture and according to Scripture, not according to tradition, not according to feeling, not according to just something that you might have heard in the past. The same with the resurrection of the dead. There's more details there on how that will happen. The order of these things and how they relate to one another is another thing you can study in Scripture and according to Scripture. The judgment, you can study that. The doctrine of eternal punishment, you can study that. The doctrine of heaven, you can study that. So the purpose of this article is not to go through all the fine point details of all these doctrines, but get the central necessary points of biblical truth. And that's where we take our stand and go from there. Now, cross-reference, this doctrine is relevant in everyday life. As Christians, one of the things that shapes the way we live is our destiny. It's our future hope. It's the end of all things. This is where we are headed. And it does not make us withdraw from the world and act like we're not living in the world, but rather it shapes how we live in the world and how we interact in the world. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Right, be self-controlled. Don't live out of control life. Be sober-minded. Be clear of mind. Be clear of thought. Be purposeful in what you're thinking, what you're believing, what you're doing. Interesting here, for the sake of your prayers. If you've been struggling in a prayer life or maybe not struggling at all in a prayer life, maybe not having a prayer life, get self-controlled, get sober-minded, get clear-minded, commit yourself to prayer. Above all, a lack of a prayer life is a symptom of something else. If you just try to add prayer without addressing that symptom, you'd just be creating a religious veneer, a superficial veneer of outward religion. Address that symptom. Whatever it is, go to God to address it. Go to Christ to address it. Cry out for the Holy Spirit for the sake of your prayers. Verse 8, above all, and remember how this began. The end of all things is at hand. Oh, therefore, I want to see if I can change the highlight on this to make it stand out more. There you go. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore. Now, verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We must love one another. This is addressing Christians, particularly our love one to another in the family of God. Christian love does not end there, but that is important. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. Don't have people over your house and show hospitality and then grumble about them behind their backs and they never had me over. How come they haven't had us over? It's been 10 years. We've had them over 6 times. Don't show hospitality and grumble about it. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, not complaining, not begrudging one another, but enjoying each other's company. Love one another earnestly. Show hospitality without grumbling. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God's given you gifts, and he's given you those gifts for the upbuilding of the body, to encourage others. Look at what it says here. Serve one another. Love one another earnestly. Verse 8. Verse 9, show hospitality without grumbling. Verse 10, God's given you a gift. Serve one another with that gift. Verse 11, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, don't say things God wouldn't say. Say things to each other. Speak about each other with things that God would delight in and approve of. Stop gossiping. Stop slandering. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Stop playing the blame game. People in church aren't your adversaries. They're your brethren. They're your brothers and sisters in the Lord. So when you're speaking, think about what would be pleasing to God. And then whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Don't serve on your own strength. Serve in the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So it ends with a brief doxology, which is, just means a brief word of praise to God. And this passage began with a statement of theological truth. It began with a statement of doctrine. The end of all things is at hand. And then the rest of it is application. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded, love each other, hospitality to one another without grumbling, serving one another, speaking well of each other and speaking well to each other, serving in God's strength, not your own, in order that, now is the reason for all of that, the heart behind all of that practical application, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, and he deserves to be glorified. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The point is, it all began with a simple statement of last things theology. The end of all things is at hand. The end is upon us. This world is not going to last forever. This is not the final chapter. All right, and it shapes how we live. And I would encourage you, I'll put these up on the screen just to save you so you don't have to go to the website to see all the cross references. See if I can get them all up there. I just zoomed out. It sent us to a whole different section. Be patient with me. It's almost there. Here we go. There it is. There are your cross references. Now there's more to that. Use your marginal references and footnotes in your Bible. If you don't know what that means, just message me. But a lot of Bibles, within the different verses of Scripture, you'll see itty-bitty letters and sometimes itty-bitty numbers. And those have references in the margins that will send you to other verses to talk about similar or the same things. And then footnotes down below that will give a little lesson and also send you other places to study that same topic that's being discussed. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for the hope of eternal life, the hope of resurrection. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we don't deserve, but we praise you for it. To you be glory, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, well, God bless you. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you on Sunday for Catechism, the 34th Lord's Day, and I'll see you next week. I try to do these on Monday, but recently they've been more consistently been on Tuesday. But either way, it'll be early next week. We'll get Confession of Faith, week 34. God bless. Thanks again.